الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome back once again to another episode of this silsila, O You Who Believe. In this silsila, in this series, we take a look at those beautiful verses of the Qur'an in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the believers with the words, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O You Who Believe. And we see what pearls of wisdom and guidance these beautiful verses of the Qur'an hold for us. In today's episode, we have another beautiful verse of the Qur'an beginning with the words, O you who believe, and another instruction for the believers. Before moving on to today's verse and today's topic, I'll share with you a virtue and blessing of reciting peace and blessings, reciting salawat, reciting durood sharif upon the best of all creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Whoever recites durood sharif upon me on the day of Friday 100 times, he will come on the day of judgment in such a state that you will have a nur with him, a light with him. And what will be the description of that light? The light that will be given to the person who recites durood sharif 100 times on a Friday. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that nur was distributed between all of creation, it would be sufficient for all of them. Subhanallah. The nur, the light, the illumination that will be given to the blessed person who recites the durood sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100 times on a Friday, the nur that will be given to him, the light that will be given to him, will be so vast, will be so huge, will be so immense, that even if it were to be distributed amongst all of creation, it will be sufficient for all of them. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. Views on Madani channel, in today's episode, we'll be looking at verse number 136 from Surah An-Nisa, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers and says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, aminu billah, believe in Allah, ورسوله, and believe in his messenger, والكتاب الذي نزل على رسوله, and believe in the book that he revealed upon his messenger, والكتاب الذي أنزل من قبل, and believe in the book that he revealed before, ومن يكفر بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر, and whoever disbelieves, whoever rejects, whoever denies Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and the final day, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا, then he has gone astray far from the right path. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers to believe. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, believe in Allah. The scholars of Islam, in particular the scholars of Tafsir, the Mufassirun, they have mentioned that this has three possible meanings. All you who believe, believe in Allah. If the khitab, if the address is to the hypocrites, then the meaning of this verse is, all you who claim to believe, believe in Allah. All you who claim to believe, truly and sincerely believe in Allah. Stop reducing your belief to just claims. Stop reducing your belief to just the tongue, and stop hiding this belief in your hearts. Stop saying that you believe with your tongues, whilst disbelief is hidden in your hearts. Make your tongues and your hearts agree with one another. Make your tongues and your hearts in accordance with each other. And believe from the heart as well as saying that you believe with the tongue. So the verse could mean, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu billah. O you who believe in Allah, i.e. O you who claim to believe, truly and sincerely believe in Allah. The Mufassirun also mentioned that this verse could mean, O you who believe in the previous books, O you who believe in the previous messengers, i.e. O people of the book, O Ahlul Kitab, O people who believe in previous scriptures, believe in the Qur'an. Those who believe in previous messengers, believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, believe in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who believe, O you who believe in Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, believe in Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This could be another meaning of this verse. By Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, it means, O you who believed in previous prophets, O you who believed in previous scriptures, Aminu billahi wa rasulihi, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Here the scholars mention that when it says Aminu billahi wa rasulihi wal kitab, believe in Allah and His Messenger and the Book, then the Messenger is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of all messengers, and the kitab, the book, is the Quran, the final revelation and the final guidance for mankind. The third opinion of the Mufassirun, the third possibility of the meaning of this verse, they say that Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu billah, O you who believe, believe in Allah. This khitab could be to the believers themselves. If so, the meaning would be, O you who believe, be steadfast on your faith. O you who believe, be steadfast on your beliefs. O you who believe, remain firm on your iman. So here, the address will be to those who have already believed in Allah, who have already believed in the messengers, the books, the angels, the final day. And the order of believe in Allah will be in the meaning, be steadfast in your belief in Allah. Remain firm on your belief in Allah. Remain firm on your belief in the messengers and the books and the angels and the final day. Here's Ahmadiyya Channel. After explaining what the Mufassirun has said regarding this verse, it's important for us to realize these different branches of our faith. As Muslims, as believers, as those who have brought faith in the true religion of Islam, it's important for us to realize what our beliefs entail. When it comes to the essential Islamic beliefs, the scholars, the likes of Imam al-Sunusi, Imam al-Bajuri, rahimahumullah, they have listed those beliefs which are necessary for every Muslim to adopt. Beliefs regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that we must believe regarding Allah, things that it's not permissible for us to believe regarding Allah, things which are essential attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things which we have to believe regarding Allah Almighty, things which cannot be associated with Allah Almighty, things which cannot be attributed to Allah Almighty. Furthermore, there are essential beliefs about the messengers. There are attributes which are essential for the messengers. There are beliefs which, as Muslims, for our faith to be complete, we must believe in regarding the messengers. And similarly, there are some things which we must believe are impossible for the messengers. There are some things which we must believe cannot be associated with the messengers. So what are those things? Just to summarize what these scholars have said in their epistles, in their works. They say that the first and foremost belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the attribute of wujud. It's necessary to affirm the attribute of wujud for Allah Almighty. Wujud means existence. So we believe that Allah Almighty exists. And we believe that Allah Almighty is wajibul wujud, meaning His existence is necessary. And His non-existence is impossible, meaning there was never a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not exist. and the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessary. Moving on, the second necessary attribute which we must affirm for Allah Almighty is the attribute of Qidam. The attribute of Qidam means pre-eternity, i.e. that Allah Almighty has always existed without a beginning. Now this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Qidam, or Allah Almighty being Qadim, being pre-eternal, the meaning of this is that unlike creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have a beginning. Meaning it wasn't the case like it is with us. With us, we did not exist and then we came into existence. We had a beginning. There was a point where we didn't exist and then we were brought into existence by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the point where we started to exist is the beginning point. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was never any time when He did not exist. Allah Almighty always existed. So therefore, Allah Almighty does not have a beginning. The next attribute that we must affirm for Allah Almighty is the attribute of Baqa. Baqa means endless and eternal existence. Allah Almighty will exist forever without an end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence is forever. Number four, he mentions the fourth attribute which is necessary to affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is مُخَالَفَتُهُ لِلْحَوَادِثِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike anything else. As he himself says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is like Allah. So what does this mean? حَوَادِث are creation. Everything that was brought into existence by Allah Almighty. Things which were previously non-existent. Allah Almighty, the attribute of Allah Almighty is مُخَالَفَتُهُ لِلْحَوَادِثِ. Allah Almighty is different, He is unlike anything in creation. So this tells us that everything in creation is limited to a direction, is limited to a place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike anything in creation. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to a direction or a place. When we exist within place and time. We exist within space and time. And we exist in a direction. And things that are around us are in a particular direction. In front, behind, on the right, on the left, above, below. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike us, unlike anything in creation. And therefore Allah Almighty exists without a direction. And the next attribute further affirms what we've just mentioned. The fifth attribute which is necessary to affirm for Allah Azza wa Jal is Qiyam bin Nafs. Qiyam bin Nafs means that Allah Almighty is self-subsisting. He exists by himself without any help or dependence on anything else. In simple words, Allah Almighty is independent. He doesn't need anything else. Our existence is dependent. We depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exist. And we depend on the means that are around us within the universe. We, for our existence, depend on space. We depend on direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of space and direction. So before there was an up, a down, above, below, left, a right, in front, behind. Before these directions existed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed. And He existed without a direction, because these directions didn't exist. Then when Allah Almighty brought these directions into existence, Allah Almighty created space. Created time. Now Allah Almighty, ma'azallah, didn't move into a space. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists perfectly now as He did. Allah Almighty is not subject to change. Things which are created are subject to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. And perfection doesn't change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed without a direction in pre-eternity. And Allah Almighty still exists without a direction. And Allah Almighty will continue to exist forever without being needy or dependent of a direction. So from this we learn something very important. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not above. And this is a misconception that needs to be clarified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in a direction. Allah Almighty exists without being dependent on any place. The next attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, wahdaniyya. Wahdaniyya means the absolute oneness of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty is one. He is unique in His self, in His attributes, in His names, and in His actions. Number 7 is Qudra. Qudra means power. The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all possibilities. And this is an attribute that is necessary for us to affirm for our belief in Allah Almighty to be complete. Number 8 is Irada. Irada means His divine will. The divine Irada, the divine will, ordains things to exist or not exist. And the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty, is fa'alun lima yureed. He does whatever He wills. His will is absolutely free from being influenced or compelled by anybody else. Number 9 is the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine knowledge of Allah Almighty. He knows everything, and His knowledge encompasses everything, and nothing is unknown to Him. Number 10 is the attribute of hayat, the attribute of life. Allah Almighty's life, unlike the lives of everything else, His life is His own life. It wasn't given to Him by anybody else. We also have the attribute of life. But our life was given to us by Allah. And furthermore, the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have the possibility of death. This is the difference between Allah's life and our life. Allah Almighty has the attribute of being Al-Hayy, the ever-living. And His life is such that it's impossible for death to be attributed to it. It's impossible for death to occur upon it. Whereas for us it's possible. But it is possible for us to have life, and it's also possible for us not to have life. And we, who have life today, a day will come when we will not have life, when we will die. But the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without the possibility of death. Number 11 is Sama. Allah Almighty is Sami'. He is the one who hears. Allah Almighty hears everything. But His hearing is unlike our hearing. Meaning, our hearing is dependent on these ears, these limbs, these organs. And through these sensory organs, we are able to hear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything without the need for any body parts, without the need for any type of organs. Similarly, number 12 is basar, sight. Allah is al-basir. He is the one who sees everything. But again, His seeing is not dependent on rays of light, or the eyes, or the cones and rods which are situated at the back of our eyes. The seeing of Allah Almighty is independent and free from any of these types of organs or body parts. Number 13 is the Kalam of Allah. The Kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah, is pre-eternal and is ghayr makhluq, it's uncreated. And it's transcendent from letters and sounds. It's not created from letters and sounds like ours. Rather, the speech of Allah Almighty is uncreated. With regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one final point would be that it's impossible for anything which is defective to be linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Almighty is free from lying. Allah Almighty is free from oppression. Allah Almighty is free from deception. And attributing such things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is against the true aqidah of a Muslim, the true belief of a Muslim. Allah Almighty orders us to believe in Him, to have iman in Him. True iman in Allah necessitates that we do not attribute any type of defect to Allah. So if somebody, ma'adallah, Allah forbid, attributes lying, deception, oppression to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such a person is a deviant. Such a person is misguided. Moving on to the belief in the messengers. In the verse of the Quran that we started with, Allah Almighty said, believe in Allah, aminu billahi wa rasulihi. And believe in the messenger. So what are the necessary attributes of the messengers? Imam al-Bajuri rahimahullah, he continues and he describes that there are certain attributes which are necessary for every prophet and messenger of Allah. The first being sidq, truth. It's necessary for prophets and messengers to be truthful. And it's impossible for them to lie. That's why our prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was known as as-sadiq, the one who is truthful. And if the messengers did not have this attribute, then their message itself would become suspect. Suspicions would arise over their message itself. So sidq, truth. Number 2, amana. Amana means honesty and trustworthiness. Again, our Prophet ﷺ was known as Al-Amin, the trustworthy. It's necessary for prophets and messengers to be honest. The next one is Tabligh. Tabligh means preaching and delivering the divine message. It's obligatory for prophets and messengers of Allah to deliver the divine message of Allah Ta'ala to the people. And this is a necessary attribute of prophets and messengers that we have to affirm for our belief to be correct. So, it's necessary for us to believe that the prophets and messengers, they conveyed everything that Allah Almighty ordered them to convey. So if anybody has a belief that Ma'azallah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or any prophet, hid certain beliefs out of fear because of being afraid of certain people, there were certain rulings which were hidden and not brought out in the open, there were certain verses which were not conveyed, then this belief would be a very dangerous belief. A belief that will lead a person to destruction. Because this belief is negating a necessary attribute of the prophets, which is tabligh, preaching, delivering, conveying the message of Allah Almighty. The fourth necessary attribute of the prophets is fatana. Fatana means intelligence. So it's obligatory for all prophets and messengers to be intelligent. Prophets and messengers are those who are blessed with natural intelligence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some essential beliefs regarding the messengers from the works of the ulama. Moving on, with regards to the angels, which are also mentioned in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the person who disbelieves in Allah and the angels and his books and the messengers and the final day, such a person has gone far astray. So we've talked about true belief in Allah, true belief in the messengers. Another essential branch of our faith, another essential aspect of our faith is believing in the messengers, believing in the angels, believing in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the final day. So when we look at the works of our scholars and we find out regarding the angels, we find that the scholars teach us angels are created from nur. Angels are created from light. And our aqidah is that the angels only do that which is commanded to them by Allah. So the angels are ma'asum. And it's the aqidah of a Muslim that it is only angels and the prophets of Allah. It's only the angels and the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam who are ma'asum, who are free from sin. All others, whether they be Ahlul Bayt, Sahaba, Awliya, they can be mahfuz, they can be protected from sin, but they can't be ma'asum. They can't be completely free from sin. Those who are completely free from sin are the prophets, the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the angels of Allah. So the angels of Allah, they only do that which is commanded to them by Allah Azza wa Jal. They do not act contrary to the command of Allah, whether intentionally, unintentionally, or by error. They are ma'asum, servants of Allah, and they are pure and free from all major and minor sins. So from this we learn that to attribute sin to an angel would not be permissible, because it's impossible for an angel to commit sin. Angels are neither male nor female. And the amount of angels, the number of angels, is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through his informing, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From amongst the angels, there are four who are very famous, who are most superior, most afdal amongst the angels. And they are Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Mikael, Sayyidina Israfil, and Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam. It's mentioned that to show the slightest disrespect towards any angel is disbelief. And some ignorant people, they have the habit of referring to the enemies or someone they dislike as Ma'adallah, as Malakul Maut. And this statement, the scholars say, is close to the words of Kufr. To reject the existence of angels is also disbelief, because believing in angels is proven from the Holy Quran and it's a necessary aspect of our deen. With regards to the books, it's important to realize that the true aqidah, the true belief of a Muslim regarding the books of Allah is that Allah Almighty sent various revelations, various scriptures to his prophets throughout the times. From these were four main books. The four main books are the Tawrat, revealed to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the Injil, revealed to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the Zabur, revealed to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, and finally the Holy Quran revealed to our beloved Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Other than this, various scriptures and scrolls were revealed to Anbiya Kiram alayhi salatu wasalam. As Muslims, we believe that every single one of these was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other than the Holy Quran, the previous revelations were tampered with. And because these revelations were changed, and because the responsibility of guarding these revelations was upon the nations themselves, a responsibility which they didn't fulfill, these revelations were tampered with. And people changed the rulings of the revelation of Allah. For this reason, Allah Almighty would send another messenger with another revelation to correct the mistakes and the tampering of the previous nation. Because our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger and the Quran is the final revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the responsibility of protecting the Quran upon himself. Allah Almighty did not leave the responsibility to the nation. Allah Almighty himself says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ, that it is we who reveal the remembrance, reveal the Quran. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and it is we who protect it. Allah Almighty himself takes the responsibility of protecting the Quran. And this is why it's a necessary belief for the Muslims to believe that the Holy Quran, in the form that we have it today, is exactly in the way that the Prophet ﷺ conveyed it. It has not been tampered with in any way. It has not been changed in any way. It's necessary for us to believe that there's no addition or nothing that's been removed from the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, in the way that it exists, is the perfect word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to the beliefs of the final day, as Muslims we believe in a final day, the Day of Judgment, we believe that a person will be resurrected for judgment. And on that final day, on that Day of Judgment, justice will be done. And the belief in the Day of Judgment is something which is very logical. Because if it was not for this belief, then people would do whatever they wanted in the world without any fear. Because in this world, sometimes injustices are done. Sometimes people unlawfully take things from other people. Sometimes a person commits a crime and gets away with it. And justice is not served in this world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged for a day, which is regarded, which is known in the Holy Quran as Yawm al-Din, the Day of Judgment, the Day of Payback, the day when everything will be settled. So if anybody's rights were violated in the world, he didn't gain justice in the world, he shouldn't worry, because that justice will be done and everything will be fair on the Day of Judgment. These are just some of the beliefs which are necessary for every Muslim to hold. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty alludes to some of them, and Allah Almighty orders the believers to remain steadfast on their beliefs. Viewers of Madani Channel, it's important for us to learn about the correct Aqidah. Because throughout the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty, all the good actions that we do, whether it's fasting, whether it's the dhikr of Allah, whether it's reciting the Quran, performing our righteous deeds, giving charity, performing Hajj, all of these actions are only acceptable if our Iman is intact, if our beliefs are correct. And every time, belief, the mention of belief, comes before righteous deeds. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deeds. The scholars say this teaches us that those righteous deeds are mentioned after belief, because those righteous deeds are only valid if a person's beliefs are correct. If a person's beliefs are valid. So it's very, very important for us to learn about our aqidah, to learn about our beliefs. To do so, you can study the first volume of Bahari Shariat, published by Maktabat al-Madina, authored by Sadr al-Shariah Badr al-Tariqah, Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azami, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, in which he lists in detail the necessary beliefs of every Muslim. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, in the environment of Dawat Islam, we are taught to correct our aqidah, we are taught to stay firm on our aqidah and our beliefs. And in this environment, we gain the enthusiasm to learn more about our beliefs and to ensure that our beliefs are in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. In this verse that we looked at today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا all you who believe. Aminu billahi. Stay steadfast in your belief in Allah. Wa rasulihi and his messenger. Wa kitab alladhi nazzala ala rasulihi. And in your belief in the book that he revealed upon his messenger. Wa kitab alladhi anzala min qabl. And the book which he revealed before. And then Allah Almighty said, a warning for those who disbelieve, who hold false beliefs. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِاللَّهِ And whoever disbelieves in Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ And his angels, وَكُتُبِهِ And his books, وَرُسُلِهِ And his messengers, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ And the final day, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا Then he has gone far astray. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to protect our beliefs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our iman protected. Ameen. بِجَاهِ النَّبِي الْأَمِينَ صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم